You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind and declares to the man, what are his thoughts? He who makes dawn into darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord, God of hosts, Sabaoth is his name. The Lord God of hosts, Sabaoth is his name. Ho! The Lord God of hosts, Sabaoth is your name. Amos 4:13. Lord, as we lift up your name, Lord of hosts, our eyes, Lord, are completely taken and captured by your beauty. And our eyes are on your word. Your word is magnified above your name. And Lord, you're saying that you back your word up. You stand for your word. You never violate your word. Your name is holy. So let's put back up Zechariah. Just back that up. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's look up here. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord God, Jehovah Sabaoth is your name. The Lord God, Jehovah Sabaoth is your name. What are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace. Grace, 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 grace. Lord, we release your grace in this house. We release your spirit. You're here, O God. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, that's your name. It's not by might nor by power. Let's just sing that out. Let's just sing out who you are to you. To you. To you. This is who you are. To you. To you. Every mountain bows to the Lord of hosts, to Jehovah God, Jehovah Sabaoth. Oh, thank you, Lord. We offer ourselves and we say, here we are, Lord. Here we are. Cover us, God, in those places in our life with your blood, with your blood, with your blood, with your blood, which cleanses us, O God. Cleanse us, O Lord, and release us by your Spirit, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Release us, God, by the Spirit, Jesus, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Go deep. Go deep. Go deep. Go deep. Thank you, Jesus. You are Jehovah God. You back up your name. You back up your word by your name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that nothing can stand in your mighty presence. Nothing but love and grace and mercy. There's healing in your wings. You heal the wounded soul. You set the soul free. Lord, thank you for the freedom that comes right now, deep, 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 deep in our minds, deep, Lord, deep in our wills and emotions, God, that affect our bodies, deep, Lord, thank you, Lord, just receive, receive, thank you, Jesus, for your glory. Thank you for your beautiful, beautiful glory. Thank you for the light of your glory. Lord, we decree a thing and it shall be established. And your word says that in your glory, in your presence, We magnify your name. And you touch our soul. You touch our soul in the deep places. The deep places of woundedness and offense. The deep places where hurt and pain seem to be allowed to linger. In the deep places that you are pulling out and releasing us from. Thank you. Only you can do that. We receive that. Cleanse. Cleanse those places where sin, which is the opposite of holiness, where sin and pain lurk. Cleanse us, God. Let your blood saturate every place and everyone in this house today. Saturate those places deep, 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 Lord, where we have believed wrong things, where our doctrine is not lined up with who you are, with our own opinions, with our own ways, with hurts that have come from others towards us, where offenses have taken root. Just dig it up, Jehovah Sabaoth. Saturate those places with your blood. Yes, invite him. Saturate me, Holy One. Saturate me. Saturate me. Thank you, Lord. The place where true forgiveness dwells, the place where true hope arises in your presence, that's your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Feel those burdens just lift right out because Jehovah God is here. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, is here. The captain of the host is here. Nothing can hold us. Nothing can prevent us. Thank you, Lord. In those places where rebellion has been permitted to stay, those chains of wickedness are being loosed right now. Right now. Right now by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So that nothing may harm us. Thank you, Jesus. As we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch us, God, in those places with your power. Not by might, nor by our power, my word in there, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Your power, your power, your power is who you are. Your power is love. Touch those deep places with your dunamis power. Saturate me, Lord, with your dunamis power. Saturate me, Lord, with your dunamis power. Ho! Saturate me, God. Thank you, Lord. By your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Saturate me, God. Saturate me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Above all else, you desire that we be in good health, body, soul, and spirit. Thank you, Lord. Our spirit is made perfect when we invite you as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, God. Our soul is catching the wind and the fire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your release right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. As your children is resting in your arms of love now, as fear has been chased out of those deep places, as hopelessness has been eradicated and has found a home elsewhere. Where self-righteousness has moved out the door, as we are nothing without you, without your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. you, Lord. Lord, we just praise your holy name and thank you for who you are and what you did yesterday. We thank you. We praise your holy name. We praise you, Jehovah, Jehovah Sabaoth, for invading Skyline Terrace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you were crucified, the sounds that came as the nails pierced you was riveting, just bouncing off the walls of the places in that section of town. You could hear it. You could hear it, God. And people were touched. Whether they saw it or whether they heard it, you made yourself known. You laid yourself down for all of us and the beautiful ones there. And you raised from the dead. Your resurrection power, your dunamis power was released in that very place. Thank you for those who have found a new home. Thank you for the mass exodus out of hell into heaven. And thank you, Lord, for those who've been saved, healed, and delivered. Thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Well, there was a mighty infiltration in Skyline Terrace yesterday. So proud of you guys. So proud of you guys. Thank you for coming and praying and fasting this week. Thank you. Thank you. We know not yet the full effect of what the Lord did yesterday through you, all of you. If you couldn't make it, that's okay. But we must give glory to the Lord and praise and thanksgiving for who he is and what he's done. Thank you, Jamie and Mike, for heading this up. And thank you for all those who supported in every way, whatever part you played. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. We found out there were 37, not 16 or 18. That's what we heard. 37, if I got it right, buildings. 37 structures with tons of dysfunctional families who were lost or non-families. Everybody came from somebody. But wow. And as I watched, after this huge crowd gathered on the grass, being deployed out so beautifully, and I'm watching groups just like going every which direction, it was very humbling to see you do this and to see you go and give up your time. Thank you. Thank you. And I know a lot of things took place none of us saw. A couple of you came up and said, oh my gosh, I got to knock on a door and this lady came and she had this ailment or she cried or whatever. Whether she came to the outreach or not, the other part of the outreach, only God knows. But I do know that the sound of Jesus, the sound of the Spirit of God went through that place in such a way that I've never, ever seen, felt, sensed before. And now, the Lord has prepared the place, the ground, for us to leave the grass and go right into the parking lots and things. Maybe without the film, it's okay. But the Lord has opened up the territory in another realm, another way. God is good. I love the film. It's not what I'm saying. But maybe the Lord will have that too. Who knows? But the Lord has a plan If we don't think of this as, well, this is an outreach, check that off. We think of this as a spiritual love assignment. So many people touched. God bless you. I can't say it enough. It's okay if you couldn't be there. It's all right. Let's celebrate with what God did do, right? Whether you were there or not. Because we got to give him glory. There's no way this could have been pulled off unless it was in the Spirit. And it started in the Spirit in Mozambique, and the Lord did what he did. And our eyes have to be on the prize, not on what we see. He knows. So God bless you for that. We had dramas, two dramas. We had a dance. We had competition. We had amazing worship before all this, before the film. We had amazing release of power and glory as Jamie sang over the group after salvation was offered, and then healing for the wounded souls was offered. Just don't know what that will do. You don't know what that accomplished. We don't know. He just said, go. We said, okay. So we'll see what God does. I don't know. I'm not God. So I asked Jamie if there would be anyone who was going to share something. I don't know what that something is, and I don't know what you guys have. And it was late last night. I mean, there was a girl. Let me start. There was a girl at the end, and a couple of us were around her, and she was pretty hard and strong and tough and carrying all kinds of things that Jesus wanted to just clear out. And to see her just look through the eyes of hopelessness with tears coming down, streaming down her face, was beautiful. It was so beautiful. More for her? Oh, yes. Did she leave different than she came in? Yes. Was there a progression through the film? Yes. Through going up to meet her, perhaps in the place, through someone saying, hey, why don't you go talk to her? Thank you, Rick, and others. Jackie was there, and Ashley. You know, this is the one story. And to talk with her where, you know, her little guard was up, and all little critters that would love to just kind of dismiss, couldn't. They just couldn't dismiss the Lord. I was like, so cool, watching these tears come down. Wasn't that fun? Well, I thought it was fun. Because she felt different. She didn't know what to make of it. And she was still had a few twitches. But God's on the move, and he's not finished with her. That's the way he is with us. He's on the move. He's not finished with us. So praise the Lord. So great. How many of you, is this your first time with us doing what we call outreach, Jesus stuff, outside of here? Is your first time? Several of you. Oh, that's cool. Thank you. That's awesome. Not your last, right? But first. And you step in and go, okay, Lord, take over. And he did. So great. God bless you. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't. But there's a few somethings. I have no idea.
We just have some pictures we want to show you. If anybody has testimonies from last night, please email Mike and I. We'd love to. But that was one testimony that Pastor Mary Pat shared. But aside from that, I'm not sure. I didn't know if I heard you or not talk about the salvations that happened after Pastor Bill preached the gospel, and it was powerful and amazing, and you could hear it just reverberate off of the buildings and into the whole area. I mean, this is a desperate, desperate place, and you could hear lots of crazy things happening all around the perimeter, but in this one location, just the gospel that was being presented in the hush, the holy hush that came at different parts of the film where there was deliverance of Mary Magdalene, Jesus being nailed to the cross, and it was just really powerful. So we had teams gathering for worship and drama and dance. And these are some gals that we met, or that Ashley was with last night, in prayer. And this is the one that I believe, Pastor Mary Pat, you were referring to. So this was the woman that was being touched by the Lord. And and they were just trickling in throughout the whole time. The kids loved the dancing, and we did do a little bit of a dance competition with them, and they enjoyed that. But there was hot food that was provided by the other church, like People's Baptist Church. They came in, so it wasn't just Frontline. We had others that were uniting and gathering together under one banner of love. And this is, look at this. Look at Troy. How many years have you been doing this, Troy? Where are you? How many years? You just want to tell us. Too many. We know. That's the power of the gospel. Jesus. So this is just picture what it'd be like to be in this grassy area with people just crossing the street, hearing the noise, hearing the sounds, and just wondering what is going on, and they're just being drawn by the Lord. And there we have the screen set up with the projector in the film. And there's Pastor Bill preaching in front, and you've got the kids raising their hands, adults raising their hands to give their lives to Jesus. The peace was just amazing. It was undeniable in that place, the peace that came, the holy hush that came. And then Pastor Mary Pat came up and just went after it with every demonic spirit, depression, suicide, loneliness, hopelessness, hurt, pain. She just went after it, and these kids and adults were receiving the healing of Father God. It was beautiful. It was precious. Carly loving on the children. Yes, Lord. Singing and praying. And we just had a chance to talk to a few people afterwards that were, you know, leaving on their way out, just crying and knowing that the Lord came. Like, there was this one woman who came out. She said, I was headed the other direction. She had somewhere to be. She had somewhere to go, but she heard what was going on, and she said, and I just turned around, and I had to go the other way. And she came towards where we were, and she was in tears afterwards, just squeezing me and hugging me and saying thank you and just praying for her even more of what God wanted to do in her life and personal things. And so God was on the move. It was powerful. His spirit fell. His glory came. And so thank you so much to everybody that just flowed with all of it, even with the time and, like, okay, we have something there to follow, but we just go with the Spirit. We go with what we can do, and the Lord did what he wanted to do. So thank you so much.
Is there anybody, since we want to keep going, who has a very quick testimony other than what you've just heard? You were up in the buildings, and you knocked on a door, and somebody cried or got healed or something that's quick. She's quick. Look at this. Anybody else?
We had opportunity to pray for people. It was so amazing how receptive they were. We prayed for somebody that had lost their vision with chemicals and at their job. And this woman, as we were done with her, the tears were just streaming down her face. And she just hugged me so hard. We prayed for a gal that was so free to say, pray for me for depression and suicide. And she just ran into my arms. It was like, don't ask if I can touch her. She was just like right there receiving prayer. And we had a young man that my husband poured into that walked away from Christ and wants to come back, talking about the rough life down there. He said, you know, they have nines down here. And I looked at him in a little bit of stupidity. You mean guns? And he said, yes. So this kid's looking at the reality of his life. And we were able to pour in. There were so many people in the buildings that received what we had. There was so much value poured over them that it was really a blessing to watch God do in them. And then we got to see their faces as they received that value, that we were there to do that for them.
Thank you. That's a great testimony. Anybody else?
A lot of people are, there were six girls who were there. They were sisters, all different mothers, same father who now lives out of state. Just really difficult story, but they all, I believe all of them came forward, seriously prayed to receive salvation. The eldest was 13 years old, very hard girl at the beginning of the night, but they stayed to the end, and just the walls came down, and they had actually had an uncle who was kind of a father figure to them, who they were all had loved very much, who had just been shot and killed there in Skyline Terrace in July. And so there was just a lot of, when Pastor Mary Pat came up and Jamie was singing, there was just the presence and the anointing and the Spirit of God broke through. All the girls were in tears after receiving salvation, receiving inner healing, and I believe a measure of deliverance, and it was just really encouraging to see God do that. So.
Yeah. And they were all huddled. You had to count. You know, we're like with two people here, there were five, and they were just all hugging. And it wasn't just crying because they were sad. It was in the glory. It was in the presence. I mean, the Lord was bringing the healing and the deliverance.
Two quick things. One thing that was awesome was as I went up to get something out of my van, and Jamie was singing prophetically over the people at the end as we were wrapping up. And up high, it was so cool because Jamie would be singing out, and then I would hear clear as day coming from a far-off distance an echo of her voice coming back. And it was just the presence of the Lord being released down there. And what the Lord's reminding me of is when we were in Brazil in the early days in, you know, the favela there in Heliopolis, there was a time where we prophetically sang out and worshiped. And I believe Nikki and somebody else saw an angel coming into that place, a tall angel. And just as we were worshiping last night, the Lord reminded me of that, of just of his presence being released there. And that not only did us going down there and showing the Jesus film and the dramas, but we released and unlocked something in the spirit that's going to shift over that place, continuing on. And it's just, it was so exciting. And just the contrast, because sometimes you don't always fully recognize it. As I was leaving again last night, I was walking up to my van to get, and then I heard, I didn't recognize it at first, but there were, I heard gunshots, but it was way off in the distance. And it was just, it was like the contrast of those two things. And the Lord's like, no, I'm with hearing the voice of Jamie and everything else, it's like, no, I'm taking over this area. This is my place. And then really quickly, this Friday is First Friday. So let's capitalize again on what the Lord's releasing and doing. We have another opportunity. I know, hey, there's Freedom Cry coming, but wouldn't it be awesome if there's people that are going to be in downtown Canton Friday night that we can let them know, hey, we have this thing going on. And just a real quick plug for that. There's people that I've shared this about that aren't remotely walking close to Jesus at all, but they're excited about Freedom Cry and what the Lord's doing and bringing awareness to the human trafficking. So we want to bring that as well.
Wait. That one girl I was telling you about, is she, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't she talking about, where's Ashley? You here? Was she talking about, is she the one, because I was talking to a lot, I think, this is the one who was saying that she had been down to the prophetic tables and she hadn't been there for a while. She didn't call it First Friday, but she goes, yeah, you guys, are you the ones that drew a picture for me? It's like, not me. Yeah, she's the one who had the tears streaming down, okay? And she has a little baby who she's lost into the system right now, and she wants the baby back, and there's just all kinds of issues and such. So, you know, the Lord's really restoring, rescuing, restoring, redeeming, which is good. But can you mention, since he was the one that was preaching, what you heard? Pastor Bill was preaching, and there were sirens and a fire truck that came.
Yes, in the middle, it was just such a contrast, because, I mean, Pastor Bill is going after it and just releasing the gospel in power. And I'm sitting there, so here's Pastor Bill. He's preaching. They got the light on him, the crowd, and then you can see the place. And then off of the distance, you can see, like, two cop cars coming with the lights on, sirens, everything. And they go right behind the – yeah, and then a fire truck came through as well, and it was just like, what? But it was so interesting, because as all of this is happening, it's like the gospel's still going forth, even though there's kind of this chaotic situation going on. And, you know, from some of our things in Mozambique, I'm like, oh, maybe they're coming to shut us down. No, not at all. Because I think that if they would even hear what we're doing, they're like, actually, we would want you to continue to release this here so that there can be a shift and change in the atmosphere. But just that complete contrast in the spirit, it's so fun and so unique what God's doing. And, I mean, where else? I mean, I can honestly say that I was in the United States of America while I was hearing the gospel preached while I saw cop cars going behind the place where it was happening. It's just that contrast is the Lord.
I love how the light invaded the darkness yesterday. We went into an apartment, a husband and a wife, they were older, and then a daughter who had a little girl. And we went initially because the guy had oxygen tubes in. He was telling us about it. So we went in. He let us come in and pray for him. And while we're praying for him, his wife starts telling us about how she was shot right through the ceiling while she was sitting in her couch. And the hole was still up in there, patched up. And I initially sensed, Lord, I'm so thankful that you protected her life. But I asked her, I said, are you still scared? She said, yes, I'm still scared. And so we got to lead her in a very small level of deliverance. where Jesus came in and was able to exchange great love, perfect love, for that fear. And I believe that when we left Sherry Teresa, Mike and I, that she was experiencing a level of freedom that she didn't have when we first came in. And I'm just so thankful that they first and foremost let us into their apartment, but that they shared the vulnerability of that kind of a story with us, and we're able to come out. This guy, he's like, yeah, I just got baptized today. My goodness. So we just came in with another wave of love to their entire family and got to minister to each and every one of them. I'm so blessed.
When the hot dogs were being given out, there was this father who had a little girl, and I tried to say hi to her. Well, she's probably around 13. She wasn't that little. And he goes, and she wouldn't look at me. And he goes, oh, don't take that personally. I told her and taught her never talk to a stranger. So she just turned away, completely ignored. And I said, oh, it's okay. I said, well, you're welcome. You can have a hot dog, and I'm glad you're here, to her back. And then her 14-year-old brother is standing there, and this father looked at me and said, see that guy right there? He's 25, and he jumped my kid with a couple others. What do you think of that? And I said, that's not cool. I said, I'm glad he's here so he can receive Jesus. Let's see what God does, because he was really concerned, and he was trying to say, that better not happen here. We're going to have big trouble. So the Lord just dispelled that. It wasn't a problem. And this young 14-year-old looked a little shaken, but he was with his father, which is kind of a good sign, right? Heavenly Father, and there was a good earthly father, or at least one who was there to help him. And I don't know what happened exactly, but it was real interesting. So I can still see this in my mind, this 25-year-old guy in a white shirt-ish, and this 14-year-old kid, whatever happened, we don't know exactly. But we do know that the Lord wanted to right that situation for both of them. And so we're there just doing what God tells us to do, and we're not responsible for the results, but we are responsible to hear and then take action that he leads us in. So you can continue to pray into these things after you hear these testimonies, so God can finish doing what he wants to do.
There's a little boy about 5 years old. His name was Michael, and throughout the night, the Lord just let me talk to him. In my first conversation, he said how his dad said that God isn't real, Jesus isn't real, because I was saying Jesus loves you, and he said Jesus isn't real, and he stayed the whole night because I was able to like keep talking to him. I think he was in the same family as Michelle, which she talked about, the same, because his sisters, I think, is what she was talking about. So at the end, then, he prayed for salvation, repeated everything that Pastor Bill said, and it was so neat just to see him soften up and receive the Lord.
That's an awesome testimony. So thank you, Lord, and thank you guys for being part of this, and we'll see what God does next. Well, next Saturday, we usually don't have this back-to-back, but you all know the story and how that happens, so we're not going there. But we do have Freedom Cry next week. So Michelle and Rach are going to share whatever needs to be shared.
So Andy said it really well, but Freedom Cry is coming on Saturday, and we're going to be transforming this room into a conference center on Tuesday night, if you can stay after Fire and Wind. Friday during the day, we'll be here working on setting things up and beautifying the church. So please come if you're available during the day on Friday. And then please come on Saturday, stay all day. Come from 8, if you can get here between 8 and 8:30, we're going to shuttle all of our cars to the next parking lot over so that we have room for our guests. So if you can come between 8 and 8:30, that would help us to get everything going before we start at 9 o'clock. And then please stay all day, enjoy lunch, enjoy meeting people, and then stay afterwards and help us to restore this room for next Sunday. So.
And please be praying throughout this week, covering this place with prayer, covering our speakers with prayer, that nothing would disrupt God's plan and what he wants to do. We have speakers coming in from out of state and out of town and also locally and just from all walks of life, and our survivors of trafficking love the Lord, and we just want to cover them in prayer so that they can release what the Lord has for them to release, and also our pastors, and also just keep inviting people. People are really interested in the community, and we have a lot of flyers out there, and so just cover this community. We want to see every seat filled, and thank you so much.
Before you do, guys, we thought we would be able to have flyers and cards and everything in a perfect order for you, and you know, we can only do what we can do. And we have a big conference coming up here in October, but it's not too early for you to make sure that you set your mind on things above. So there it is. Can you flip the lights out? We had flyers that we passed out, you know, as we were running, and you know, they're not the ones that you want to take and give to somebody else. So suffice it to say, we've got a really cool flyer here now. These are our people who are going to be here. We're very excited about that. And you'll hear everything about that later, but you want to mark this in your mind. Because God, can you see this? See this tree? Can you show the other side of it too? There's two sides. Okay, that's the base of the tree. This is going to be about spiritual maturity, whatever that means, which is including, that's, you know, a very big idea. But it's about no more milk, but going to the meat of the word, and also living in the fullness of supernatural life. So it's a supernatural conference with trees. Okay, that'll appeal to a lot of people. So if you can put that other side up while Rachel finishes.
Did you want to do the Green Light Missions video today? Or
do what?
The Green Light Missions video today. Or
do you want to do Green Light Mission video today or not? Do it another. Do you want to do Green Light Mission video today or is it? So do you have that other side? Got it? Just so you can see it. I didn't design it. I just think it's cool. There's a tree, and God's going to run with that. And then on the other side of this amazing flyer, it's right there. You're like, ha, ha, ha. It's pretty cool. Yes, anticipating. Hey. Airdropping. See, if everybody leaves and goes, then you won't see all their hard work. These guys worked their hearts out this week to do this, to get it done, because you have to get it to the printers, and you're going to get it in the mail and all that. We just want to at least show it to you. So, love you guys. So good. Let me know when it's up, and then the kids can go. As soon as you see it and look at it. Or not. Give me a time frame, Andy. If it's 2 minutes, we're done. What do you think? Two, one. It's over? Meaning we should forget it? Sorry, you'll get them on Tuesday. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Kids are released.
Hi. Hi.
Can we have the lights back on? Yeah. I feel like I'm in darkness. This is the second time that I have preached the gospel and the police showed up. What message should I receive from that? Yesterday we were at a door in Skyland Terrace and a girl answered the door and opened up the door and we started talking to her a bit and I was standing back just a bit on this particular door, and this girl just goes like this to me. And I was like, looking behind me, like, who's she waving at? Or do I have something on my face? And she did it again. And I was like, what's this about? I knew her as a little girl 25 plus years ago. And so she was so excited and telling me about how our family had embraced her and loved her. She had been adopted and a number of reconnections with that girl. And then she knew Jackie that was in our group. from what, high school? From high school. So two out of the four people in our group, this girl knew us and just had to give us a hug to kind of connect from all those years that have gone by in between and just talked on and on and on in such positive terms about what she had received back when she was a little girl and in high school, connections in high school and so on, and catching up with Jackie. You know, those kinds of things that we did in the past, or, you know, whether bad or good, but we had a connection with someone and they can either see the same consistency, you know, we're still out sharing the gospel, or we've completely changed our life since the time we knew them and they see that. It's a dramatic impact. Well, she got the double whammy. And the Lord had it all planned. I just joined the group at the last minute, and it's just, I love that. I love that so much. Father, here we are once again, your little children. We're in need of you teaching us. We're open at this moment to you teaching us. We've seen lives changed, God, right in front of us, as we prayed for a person, or we preached the gospel, or we've given out a treat, or we have embraced someone or hugged someone. God, tears are shed. Your deep work is done in people's hearts, and it could change an entire section of the city and beyond. You, once your word starts, once the gospel starts, it can't be held back as to what it can accomplish. It's for us to preach it by the word, preach it by our lives. And God, we thank you that you back it up. It's your idea. It's your good news. It's not our good news. It's your good news. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of sharing that good news with hurting people. Jesus, we love serving you. It's our joy to serve you. We honor your name in this house today, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this house and in each heart. Amen. Boy, that was a little weak. I'll say that again. In this house and each heart. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, you are alive and awake on a Labor Day weekend. This is good news. Well, we have a quote today. It has nothing to do with the message, or does it? I don't know. We'll find out. I've prayed about it. It's not an answer to the question, what has God's Word and Holy Spirit said about a life decision or course of action? I'm getting a little bit, like, touchy about someone saying, oh, I prayed about it. I'm about ready to say to people, yeah, what'd you hear? After you prayed, what good is it to say I prayed about it? That's just the beginning of the process. Hearing from Holy Spirit, receiving direction from God's Word, which is alive. Now that's getting somewhere, wouldn't you say? Yes, Pastor Bill, I'm with you on this Labor Day weekend. I'm in this room, and I'm alive and well. And I agree with what you're sharing today on the quote. Thank you. Appreciate it. So I got to thinking after the outreach, actually, about some scriptures that have been flooding my mind for a while, and I didn't know how to put them together. You know, there's different ways to study the Bible. I don't know if you know that. Of course you do. You can go to a passage and just spend time on a passage. You can start taking passages and bringing them together from all over the Bible. You can take a person's life from the Bible and teach on that. We've had a variety of things and a variety of ways of teaching the Word over the years. But one of the things that helps me is to be on the parallel bars with the things in Scripture. What in the passage that I'm going over, what else is in the Bible about that particular topic? And that's where the Holy Spirit starts bringing these things to remembrance. It says in the New Testament in John, he'll bring things to your remembrance that Jesus has taught you. I don't know about you, but I depend on that. I need that. My own opinions, my own ideas, they're not even good enough for Facebook. That's why I don't put them on there. But God's Word, the Holy Spirit's speaking, that rules my life and runs my life. And it's brought me to a very strong place of a lion in the Spirit. And so sometimes people hear my roar and they like it or they don't like it. When the pastors come up to me that I'm connected with, often they come up to me and they're ready to, we're ready to start a session. How hard it is in ministry. It's just so hard in ministry. And they say, so how you doing, Pastor Bill? I'm feeling like a lion. And all of a sudden, it changes the whole conversation that was going to happen. Because they want to tell me how hard it is. Well, it is. But is that what we should be talking about? No, we should be talking about the overcoming power of Holy Spirit within us, any of us, to overcome anything in our life. And pastors, I'm sorry, but they're kind of guilty of talking about the difficult parts rather than the victories. There's some victories going on in this place. I said there's some victories going on in this place, in people's hearts. You're winning over the flesh for a change? Because you come to me and you say, I've repented to God. And some of you are repenting to me. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. So things that we were talking about a year or two ago are finally filtering through to the heart and making the changes. That's awesome. Come on. Does it matter if it takes 5 minutes or 2 years? As long as it gets done. That big tree you saw on the Relentless Pursuit poster, I can tell you that was not created in a day. And so God builds strong roots if you want them. Or you can be a tumbleweed. Oh, that's another message. Sorry. No roots. There are good roots and bad roots. We want the good roots. Okay, maybe we should get to the message instead of musing. Do you have anything about parallel bars back there by any chance? Ooh, this looks good. Awesome. Well, that was a little clip of me in high school. A little more hair then. But you can do a lot if you have one hand gripped on one parallel passage and another hand gripped on another parallel passage, and you bring them together and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things out of parallels in the Bible. So we want to do a lot of word today. So if you don't have a Bible, you might need one. And if you need one, raise your hand and one will be delivered to your seat. I have faith. Be delivered right to that hand. So anyone need a Bible? No one needs a Bible because they have it on their phone. Okay, great. It's awesome. But if you need one, raise your hand and it'll be delivered. Let's go to Luke 18, verse 18. Luke 18, verse 18. I'll be reading out of New American Standard, the version that Paul used. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." You may or may not be aware that the Mark passage of this, "With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." I think it's based on that passage, but it's the motto of the state of Ohio. "With God, all things are possible." Now think of that. The only state in the union that has a Bible verse in our state government that's part of our state motto, and it's been able to handle all the persecution and attempts to take it off of our state. But that's over our state. Pretty cool. We need to watch to make sure it stays that way. But here's Jesus with the rich young ruler, familiar passage, and he gives a challenge to the rich young ruler that, wow, very few people had that kind of challenge in Scripture at all. To give up everything you have, everything you possess. And it came after a discussion really about the Old Testament. Rich young ruler comes to him and says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus knows. He has no clue about real eternal life, that it's found in Jesus. It's found in connection with God. And so he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." He's saying there, you don't know God. He's better than what you think. You're talking about eternal life, but I think you base it on the wrong basis. I'm going to prove it to you. So he says, "You know the commandments," and he lists several commandments there. He doesn't list them all, but he lists several. And what does the rich young ruler say back to that? "All these I have kept from my youth." So, is that true? Here's a guy trying to be truthful. In his mind, it's truthful. But is it truthful? I didn't hear anybody answer. That was a question. Is it truthful, what he said? Not probably. No, probably. It is not. truthful. Even though he's rich, he's honored in society. He was not probably had a position in the Roman government or anything, or he wouldn't have called Jesus a teacher or given him any kind of credence at all. He's probably in the Jewish system somewhere, a ruler, very respected, very rich. And he asks about eternal life based on the Old Testament. So Jesus has to start with the Old Testament. Here's some commandments. And the guy says, I've kept every one of these since my youth. Well, that's what he's told everyone else, and everyone else believes that. But unfortunately, he's before Jesus. And the Bible says, there's no one that hasn't sinned. And if you say you're not a sinner, you're a liar. Liar! So I was telling God this week in communion how thankful I was that he had saved me from my sin, but please forgive me for my present sinning. Anything where I'm sinning. You can be totally forgiven by Jesus for all of your sin and still repent for your sinning. It's an interesting paradox. But this guy I haven't sinned in these areas. Jesus didn't even give him all the commandments. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all your possessions, sell what you possess, and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. It's like, where did this come from? We're talking about keeping, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And Jesus goes to his possessions. He switched covenants on him. And he said, you have an idol. You have an idol. And this question proves it. I miss that. What? Oh, yeah. Here we go. It's one of those crowds today. Okay. I'm ready for you after the sirens and the police last night. Sometimes you want it, and sometimes. One thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. That's a mouthful. He challenged everything in one sentence. Challenged his idol. Money, riches, possessions. He challenged whether he really knew anything about God and heaven and those types of important issues. You'll have treasure in heaven if you do this. And by the way, come follow me. It's not an easy road. He does that with each of us. He finds our idols. He finds our idols. And he challenges them. And if it's us, that's the idol. That's particularly important, isn't it? Oh, that goes along with my quote. I've prayed about is not an answer to the question, what has God's Word and Holy Spirit said about a life decision or course of action? A person can hide behind I've prayed about it and do their own cotton-picking little puny old thing to build their own kingdom. Amen? And I can do it. I'm good at it. But when Jesus starts challenging that, he's getting to the root of our idols. What am I putting before Jesus? What am I putting in between me and Jesus? What is separating me from a deeper walk with Jesus? Sometimes it's things that seem legitimate to the entire body of Christ, but not to Jesus. This guy was accepted by all the rulers in the religious system as a dynamo. Mr. Dudamus in the religious system. Mr. Likeable. Mr. Good Guy. A philosopher of sorts. A ruler. Wore the clothing. Wore the look. Had the money to prove God blessed him in that system. Jesus was not impressed. He went right to the heart of his idol. Why? Because back in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It's still true, isn't it? It's our heart. He's going after his heart. He's not going after his money. He could care less about his money. People get that upside down in the church, you know. Well, all they care about is getting that money out of my wallet. As soon as they say that, you kind of get an idea what the idol is. Because Jesus doesn't care about our money, the amount. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Got that all under control. He's got enough money. He knows where the gold is that's hidden in the mountains. He knows where the silver is that's hidden in the mountains, and the platinum and all the oil. Knows where everywhere where someone could drill for oil. And I think he might allow us. That's personal opinion. That's something I could share on Facebook. Okay. Okay, so he goes right to the heart of the issue. And then the disciples, you know, they're going to hear a lesson as well. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And you think this guy in front of him would say, oh, what was I thinking? I came to you as the teacher and you're teaching me. Okay, now I repent in sackcloth and ashes and take off these beautiful clothes and here's these sacks of money I've been hanging on to. And by the way, you see this mansion here? It means nothing to me because you're here, Jesus. Your presence is here. You know the biggest thing that happened yesterday? The presence of Jesus went into Skyline Terrace. Whatever form it was. The enemy was backing away. We had people tell us we shouldn't be there because it's so dangerous. And we were there. And they were shocked and they couldn't stop talking about it. That's cool. Darkness was backing away. Fear was challenged by the presence of Jesus. Why didn't the rich young ruler catch that? I'll go through the eye of the needle. You can help me with it, Jesus. Nope, not a word. Wrapped himself around his bags of money. Said, can't do it. Can't do it. Those of you that have been around here for a while have heard me say about the rich young ruler. I don't think Jesus would have taken that money from him. After he asked for it. If the guy would have said, oh, Jesus, it's all yours. You're worth everything to me. I honestly think Jesus would have said to the rich young ruler, now I know that you will give it to the poor as I lead you by Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes, or however that works. you will take your riches and dole it out as I touch your riches. It's no longer an idol to you, so I can trust you with those riches. Everybody, not everybody, many people think Jesus was making an unreasonable request to this guy. It wasn't about his money. It was about his heart. He was making the same request of this guy as he does us. Get rid of your idols, please. They will mess your life up. And if you are the idol, it'll really mess your life up. Because you can fool the people in the seats here, or in the religious circles of the world, that you're mighty righteous. You do some things nobody does. But if your heart has an idol that it's wrapped itself around, Jesus knows. He knows it for me. He knows it for you. And he's going to go right to that place, zero in, target that idol, and challenge us on it, and challenge us on it, and challenge us on it. And if we say, like the rich young ruler, oh, I've kept this deal. There aren't any idols in my life. Then he should have said, after Jesus challenged him, ooh, I guess I did fall on do not bear false witness. I lied. Because I can't even come to you, Jesus, and see you're more worthy than any idol that I would put myself around. And I decided to keep some rules rather than see how much you deserve worship. So the disciples, they're a little confused by this. They look at the guy's clothes. They look at how much he's respected in the Jewish system. They look at how much money he has, how blessed he is by God. And they say, then who can be saved if the rich can't be saved? You say, well, obviously we understand that now. Being rich doesn't have anything to do with it. Does really America understand that? The people and the churches in America, do they really understand that? What do they think? Oh, we're the blessed nation because our nation went after God, and okay, we might have a few problems now, but we're still a blessed nation because we're, you know, I mean, our needs are met. And so God must be behind that. Sobering to think that Jesus looked right past everything the guy could put up as a smoke screen right to his heart. And I'm convinced the guy was being honest. I don't think he was trying to defraud Jesus. This is where he was at. This is what he really thought. He thought, I'm blessed by God. Obviously, I've kept these from my youth because I'm rich. Jesus said, basically, you'll be rich when you know me to the point you're willing to see that anything in this life is worth knowing me. And laying that on the altar, here it is. Not building my own little kingdom, but truly laying this before the King. It might be a fresh time to do that. Here's everything, Jesus. Here's my life. And everything I own, everything I am, I'm like Adam and Eve in the garden. I have nothing except what you've provided. And I give it all to you. Even that piece of fruit I keep looking at, I give it to you. I let you have it because it's not for me. So I looked over this passage, and I was challenged again. And then I went over to Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, another rich man. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. I think the translation should be short. Small is not proper for a short person. We don't go small and tall. We go short and tall. Amen? So I'll talk to the translators myself, and we'll get this straightened out. He was short in stature. Gokey New Translation. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they began to grumble, saying, "He is gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Well, let's stop right there. Some of us have that feeling about the IRS. He's a tax collector. There are a lot of parallels here between Zacchaeus and the IRS. Just, you know, throwing that in here. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." When you take these two parallel bars and fly around on them, two rich men, but in two different situations entirely. The rich young ruler, he's rich, he's honored, and he feels he's honest, and everyone else thinks so too. And he's kept the law, he's in good relationship with anyone that knows him, more than likely. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, he got rich by defrauding people, by taking the tax due to the enemy Romans and adding his little skim on the top of it for himself. And because he's rich, you know he added a pretty good amount on top of the tax he was supposed to take for the Romans. And the Romans don't care. They're glad that they're getting their tax. And they didn't, you know, set any standard for, well, you can only take 20%, 30%, 40% on top of it. It's up to Zacchaeus, because he's the tax collector, how much he wants to put on top of that. So apparently, Zacchaeus put his high percentage on top of that, and he was not welcome in the society. Let's just put it that way. He's a sinner! That's what they're saying about him in the streets. What are they saying about the rich young ruler? "Oh, an honorable man. That's the rich young ruler, of which he was one of my friends. We could do the yacht together." "Let's go to the mansion. Jump in the pool. Let's go." But nobody wants to hang out with a tax collector. Nobody. And so no one's going to let him look over their shoulder. They're like shoulder to shoulder, hoping he doesn't touch them. He has to climb up a sycamore tree to see what's going on. Jesus walks under the sycamore tree. Now get this. The woman that touched the hem of his garment wasn't seen, you know, coming through the crowd after him and everything else. And he didn't even see her and says, "Who touched me?" But Zacchaeus climbs up in a sycamore tree. Jesus could have kept, you know, his focus on the crowd going forward and so on. No. Boop! Sees him right away. And calls him into his presence at Zacchaeus' house. You know, that's what he does with us. Calls us into his presence, and he's inside of us. So if you think you have to be here at church, listening to worship, to be in his presence, obviously that is not the case, is it? It's a good place to be. But his presence is inside of us. We carry the kingdom of God with us. We carry the Holy Spirit with us. And that's what Jesus did. I'm coming to your house to bring my presence. And I don't have to say a word. I just show up and you get convicted. And you volunteer half of your money all on your own. Now, note, Jesus didn't say to him, because you just admitted that you defrauded all these people, you should give the rest too. The other 50%. That would make it a clean slate, and I would know that you love me. That's what it takes to get rid of your idol, Zacchaeus, coming down from the tree with me. Going to your house and having some tea. But Zacchaeus volunteered in the presence of Jesus without him saying a word that we know of. It's not recorded. He said anything. Now, he may have. I'm sure he was having conversation at the table, eating bread, multigrain, I'm sure. Eating some vegetables, fruit. So he volunteered half. And Jesus said, salvation has come here today. What? Wait a minute. You didn't pray the prayer. Where's the four spiritual laws? Where's the bridge to life? You didn't pray the prayer. You got to pray the prayer. Let's go, Zacchaeus. Pray the prayer. Showed his heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. He went from darkness to light in the presence of Jesus. Jesus just showed up. Sometimes if your light is so bright, when you show up, people are agitated. They're upset. We ran into a few yesterday. There's one resident, couldn't stop talking, kept talking. And we're trying to talk to others, and he kept talking and commenting on everything. He was agitated by the Spirit of God that was brought into the place. We had been very nice to him and invited him to a nice little gathering. He couldn't stop talking. Agitated in his spirit. Because the Spirit of God had walked in, Jesus had walked into this place. Just your presence, if you're in alignment with heaven, there are going to be people that don't like you. Just walking in. There are going to be people that are desperate and start crying in your presence. Just because you walked in. Zacchaeus, when Jesus walked into his place, all he had to do was sit down, and Zacchaeus is running to the place he was keeping his money and throwing it out as a tax rebate to the society. Talk about a tax cut. Man, he just kind of went out in the street. Here you go, here you go. At least that's what it shows in the movie. He was rich, despised by society, and he defrauded everybody. But now he's the friend of Jesus because he gave up his idol on his own, volunteered it. Because he valued the presence of Jesus. He valued who Jesus was. He didn't go to the law and say, you know, Jesus, I'm hanging out with you here, but, you know, people don't like me, and I had taken a little bit too much for myself. He didn't even go through that. didn't try to make excuses. But, you know, I've got expenses. I've got a family to take care of. It's not easy being a tax collector when nobody likes you. You can't even shop at some stores. They won't sell you the food. I have to go to the most expensive stores. I have to go to the Roman temples to get my meat sacrificed to idols. Got to understand, Jesus, he didn't go into any of that. Gave up his idol voluntarily. I love that contrast between the two men. The despised coming into the presence of Jesus and becoming his follower. Jesus doesn't even have to challenge him. He just says, you got it by my presence showing up. You're getting rid of all the idols by my presence coming into the room. And the other guy needs to hear about camels and going through eyes of needles and all that stuff because he thinks he's okay. He thinks he's all right. What's the message here? Let's deal with any idols in our hearts. It's time. The world is making more idols. Have you noticed? There's an American idol. And it changes like, I don't know how often, but a lot. Every other week, there's a new American idol. And then they have spinoffs from that, that they can't call it American Idol, so they call it something else, but they're still idols. And back when I was growing up, it was teen idols on the magazine covers. He's the new teen idol. She's the new teen idol. And the Beatles are the idols, and this group's the idols, and the animals are the idols? The group, the animals, were the idols. Let's go to Mark 12:41. Mark 12:41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. Can you imagine Jesus watching you give? Now, what's cool about Frontline, come on, I like this about Frontline. There's that box on the back wall. When I was growing up, it was always a golden plate with a red mat on the inside of it, a round red mat that was just perfectly in the bottom of it, so you remembered the blood of Jesus when you were about to give in the golden plate. And they passed them, and they stood there at the row and watched you give. Then they went to the next row, and they watched you give. But can you imagine Jesus being right there as you get your wallet out, your purse, your checkbook, watched you as you pay on PayPal? Maybe we should get a caricature from the movie about Jesus. Make a cardboard figure and have it move along the aisle as people give. And I think we'll be going to more nations. We'll be doing more in the city. So Jesus is at the treasury and he's watching people give. And many rich people were putting in large sums. You kind of get the picture. They bring in their bag, you know, of gold. They put it down. Walk away very pleased. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor woman put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Wow, was that challenging. So just so you get the picture, I brought a couple of the coins, two mites, from that time period. I think I checked the fingerprints, and they are hers. I went through the database of the FBI, and they are hers. Yeah, it does cover Israel as well. We have a good relationship with Israel. But these things are small. I don't even know how Jesus could see it. But you can take a look. I brought my own magnifying glass so you can see these two mites that she put in. But he's looking for all, isn't he? You get the point? He tells the rich young ruler, all. He tells the widow, doesn't tell her anything, he just comments on her gift. She gave all. He wants all, but when he sees Zacchaeus give half, he calls it all because he volunteered. So it can't be about money, or he would say Zacchaeus didn't meet the standard. It has to be about our hearts. The widow chose what she wanted to give. Zacchaeus chose what he wanted to give. And the rich young ruler decided he couldn't give anything. He didn't just say, I'm not going to give all. He didn't give anything. He didn't even try to play some kind of game with Jesus. He didn't give anything. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 11. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So according to this passage, he's talking about what we love. If we love money, we wrap ourselves around money, there's going to be all kinds of other problems. We'll be pierced with many griefs. We'll wander away from the faith. It'll cause all sorts of evil if we wrap ourselves around money. But even with this passage that is specific to money, he talks about godliness being great gain. He wants us to pursue, flee from those things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Wouldn't you think he would say, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue generosity? If it is about money, really. It would throw that one in there. And it's certainly in the mix. But it may be intentional that he never threw that in there. Because he wants us to know, he wants our heart. The money will flow from that. The giving will flow from that. Whatever it is. Giving our time, which to some of us is much more valuable. Giving up idols that we have. Oh, we don't have an idol of money. But we have this very good, reasonable, satisfies the body of Christ for the most part, idle over here. And that's a tough one. Because other people are going to say, oh, no, no, no. That should be up there on the list. You can give a lot of your life to that. That. That's all right. But Jesus might say something different. He might say, that's an idol. You need me more than that idol. And I will show you the proper use if it's something very valuable to your life. He already lists all the things that are not valuable to our life. The vast majority of them in commands and helpful principles in the Bible, right? Lying is not good for our life. We obviously shouldn't make that an idol, and most of us are not seeking that idol. Adultery, wow. That's not something that we're shooting for, right? Adultery of God? Whoa. Now we're starting to talk about some things we actually have to deal with. Because that's an idol. Whatever the idol is, God will say, well, you're committing adultery against me. Oh, wait, don't use that language. But that's the language he uses. So what all these things mean together? To me, on the parallel bars, doing my flips like in high school there, it means we have to get before him and say, I have something I want to volunteer to you. And we said it a couple weeks ago. I want to give you my life fresh. And I can tell you in the times that Pastor Mary Pat and I have had recently, that is just coming to my spirit to say out in our times together. Lord, I'm giving you my life brand new and fresh. I'm going to allow you to touch the things that shouldn't be in there that I'm giving my life to before you. Now, it doesn't mean that some of these things shouldn't be in our life. We need money to live. We need a house to live. We need cars to drive, things like that. This isn't a lesson about saying, okay, everybody give up your cars, leave them in the parking lot, I'll take your keys. Cell phones, please, up front. Make sure you put the papers to your house, your mortgage, all that. You know, try to pay it off before you give it to us, would you? Bring that over here to this corner, all the paperwork that we would need to make sure the bank gets, you know, it figured out. All your financial records and, you know, bank accounts, stock options, all that. Could you put that over here in this pile over here? Oh, boy, this has been a good service. Even Jesus, he's not saying give all these things up to the church. He wants you to be the best steward of the things that he gives to you. And he can trust you with giving what, you know, you're supposed to give in any one particular time. That's why we say to people here when we have a project, ask Holy Spirit. Oh, that goes back to my quote. I've prayed about it is not an answer to the question, what has God's Word and Holy Spirit said about a life decision or a course of action? Ask Holy Spirit. He'll tell you, am I supposed to give a lot, a little, nothing? And we're good with that. If you've really asked Holy Spirit, we're good with it anyway because we'll never know. Only God knows. And that's the best place that decision should be put, is before him. Like all the decisions of the heart in our life. But I've failed God miserably now. I see that. I see the idols right in front of my face. I've made this an idol in life. I'm in sin. I think we've given a solution. I think Jesus has given a solution. Run to his presence, and he'll tell you exactly what to do. Zacchaeus couldn't wait to be in the presence of Jesus, and then he realized, oh, that means I have to change. That's all right. I'll change with joy. And he starts throwing his money out the windows, at least in my picture of it. As a tax collector, man, did he have a big turnaround. Wouldn't it be great if the IRS, suddenly all the agents in the IRS became absolute rabid believers. And they started taking the government's money and returning it to all the people. I'm not going to run for president, but that might be a winning idea. Father, we thank you, God. Today, we're giving up any idols that you point out in our life. Jesus, some of them are very respectable. We've dressed them up so they don't look like idols. Just like the rich young ruler, we admit it. And Father, we're just going to lay them down in your presence. We're in your presence. Not just here, but we carry your presence everywhere we go. We're going to lay them down as you pointed out. As you pointed out. And then we will be able to go through the eye of a needle. Even if we have lots of riches, we'll be able to go through the eye of a needle because we've laid it down. It's not the thing that runs our life. We will not embrace it as the key to life. We'll embrace you, and you will show us how to use what we have to do what you want. If it's our home, it may be that we have a nice home. We can invite others to it. We can teach about killing kryptonite, and we can kill all kinds of idols together. Father, that's an amazing use of where we live. Jesus, you have so many ways that you can use what you give to us, what you've allowed us to have, to bless your name, and it doesn't become an idol. God, thank you for that. Go ahead, search our hearts. Search our hearts right now. Point out any idols in us, God. And we're just going to call them that. It's the best word for it. If it's money, if it's family, if it's reputation, if it's something that we have not yet identified, Lord, point it out. If we want to keep a certain lifestyle that's been hidden, God, hidden from the church, hidden from the eyes of friends, family, but not hidden to you, God, let us lay it down today. And God, where we've failed in the past, you are willing to forgive. If we've come to you, we have the full forgiveness. Let there not be any false guilt here today. Just a double check. Have I laid this down before you? Have I given my whole life to you, Jesus? It's time to face it. Like the elephant in the room last week, let us get that taken care of. Let us look carefully at that elephant, Father, and deal with it. If it's a big fat idol in the middle of our living quarters, God, we need it out. We need to change the decor to a place of worship of you only. We're here today willing for you to point it out and volunteering if we already know what it is. Like Zacchaeus, we just joyfully volunteer. Oh, Lord, what a foolish thought I had in keeping this as an idol before you. That was stupid. We're here, Lord, doing business before you. You're speaking. You're speaking. You're showing us in our spirit. And we're repenting. were laying down idols right and left. You'll point it out. You're faithful. Because we'll be able to minister in such anointing and power to others if we lay down our idols. Together we will be an amazing small army that can defeat the enemy at every turn. If we've given everything, if every soldier here has given everything to Jesus, it's all yours, Lord. Let us know what we're to keep to steward. That includes anything in our hearts, God, anything. It's not just about money today. I get it. It's about all the valuable things to me. Am I laying those on the altar? My time, my decisions. Jesus, am I willing to stand before my family members, before my friends, and stand up for you, Jesus? If not, I have a pride idol. I need to be a fool for you. With things led by the Holy Spirit to say, but to be willing to be a fool to others, to lift up your name in glory. Thank you for all the fools that went out yesterday, God. Willing in that environment to lift up the name of Jesus. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, unto the Jew and to the Greek. Jesus, we're not ashamed. We've laid down that idol of pride. Thank you, God. Work in our hearts today, deep, and throughout this weekend, God, and beyond. We need you to keep working on our hearts because they're just so easily attracted to things that get in the way of a close relationship with you, get in the way of experiencing your presence, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your deep work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's kind of boring around here, so you don't have anything to do in the next couple weeks. So just relax. Just take it easy. Get on the yacht. Float down the river. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-337-8399.